Christ Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor, Todd Niver. We are located at 4137 Todd's Road, 2 miles outside of Manowar Boulevard. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Bible study is at 9:45 a.m. Wednesday services are at 7 p.m. Nursery is provided for all services. For more information, visit our website at toddsroadgracechurch.com. Now here's our pastor, Todd Niver.
I'm going to be speaking from 2 Kings chapter 5 this morning. I've entitled this message, "It's Not Like You Thought It Was." Now let me give my text and you'll see why I entitled the message, "It's Not Like You Thought It Was." In 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 10, "And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, Naaman the leper, saying, Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth, angry, and he went away and said, Behold, I thought. Behold, I thought." Here's what I thought would take place. "He will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. I thought it would be this way. Naaman, it's not like you thought it was." Now Naaman gives us an illustration of what is called sovereign grace. Now what do I mean by that term? In Luke chapter 4, we read beginning in verse 28. I could entitle this sermon, Sovereign Grace Illustrated. That would be just as good a title because it illustrates sovereign grace. But look in Luke chapter 4, verse 28. And this is a religious crowd who had heard the Lord speak. "And all they in the synagogue," they were completely unanimous. Everyone was in agreement right here. "And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath. And they rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him under the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way." Now these people were mad. They were going to throw the Lord Jesus Christ off of a cliff after they heard the message he brought. Now, what did he say that incited their anger to the point that this religious crowd in the temple became an angry lynch mob? Now, this is the opening of the Lord's public ministry. And what they had done, they rejected his claims. We read in verse 16 of Luke chapter 4, "And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he'd opened the book, he found the place where it was written, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book. And he gave it to the minister and he sat down. And I have no doubt that the way he read this passage of Scripture, everybody there knew he was referring to himself. And they were upset. And he closed the book and he gave it to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this Scripture fulfilled in your ears." He says, "I am the fulfillment of this Scripture." And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son? Who's he think he is to make such claims to say this Scripture that he's the fulfillment of it?" And he said unto them, "You shall surely say to me this proverb, Physician, heal thyself. In Capernaum, do also here in thy country. But I tell you the truth." Now he uses an illustration. He says, "You fellows don't believe me. But let me tell you the truth. I tell you the truth. Many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elijah sent, save unto Sarepta, city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. God sovereignly passed by all the widows and saved a Gentile widow and preserved her. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha, the prophet. And none of them was cleansed, save Naaman the Syrian, a Gentile. God passed by all those lepers, and he saved Naaman. Now, Naaman is an illustration of sovereign grace. Sovereign grace is grace that is 100% dependent upon God's will. You and I have no control. There's nothing we can do to get Him to give us this grace. We are in the hands of a sovereign God, and He can save as He will, or He can pass by in judgment as He will. God is sovereign, and my dear friend, you'll only worship a sovereign. And God passed by and did not cleanse any lepers in Israel during Elisha's day, but He did save this and cleanse this Gentile leper. Now let's read the story. In 2 Kings chapter 5, our Lord uses it to illustrate God's unimpeachable sovereignty. We read in 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1, "Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. The Lord enabled the Syrians to defeat Israel." I think it's interesting that not only were the victories of Israel ascribed to the Lord, but their defeats as well were ascribed to the Lord. He enabled Syria to defeat Israel, and Naaman was the leader in this. He was a five-star general. And he was an impressive man. He was a great man with his master. The Scripture says he was honorable and a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. Now, Naaman believed himself to be a very great man who happened to be a leper. And he didn't realize that he was a leper who happened to be a great man. You see, a great man is a sinner who for a while has a certain status among worms. We read in verse 2, "And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife." Now think of the pain that this little girl had gone through, being ripped away from her family and brought into Syria and made a slave of Naaman's wife. But we see God's adorable providence in this, because Naaman would have never heard the gospel. He would have never heard of the God of Israel. He would have not known of God's way of saving sinners had it not been for this taking place. Now this little maid says in verse 3, "And she said unto her mistress, Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that's in Samaria, for he would recover him out of his leprosy." Now this little girl felt sorry for Naaman, and she knew of the prophet Elisha. She knew of the miracles that God had done by him. Remember, he was given a double portion of the spirit of Elijah. He smote the waters of Jordan River, and they parted, and he walked through. She'd heard about the miracle that he had performed when he took a little jar of oil and filled up many, many empty vessels of oil and made the woman wealthy and took care of her. She knew how he had raised a little boy from the dead, and she said to her mistress, "Oh, if your husband was with God's prophet in Samaria, he'd heal him." So we read in verse 4, "And one went in and told his Lord, saying, Thus and thus saith the maid that's in the land of Israel." They told Naaman about there's a prophet who could pronounce you to be clean. And the king of Syria, he loved Naaman. He had a high opinion of Naaman, and he wanted Naaman to be cured. So what does he do? The king of Syria said, Go. I'll send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. Now, this could have made the prophet fabulously wealthy. This is his payment he thought he would get. I'll give you all this if you can cleanse Naaman. I think that maybe the number 10 represents the law, the 10 garments, the keeping of the 10 commandments as my righteousness before God. He comes on the footing of law. Verse 6. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, Now, when the letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. Now, the king sent Naaman to the wrong place. He shouldn't have sent him to the king of Israel. The king of Israel couldn't do anything for this man. He should have sent him to Elisha, God's prophet. But he begins by going to the wrong place. And look at how the king of Israel responded to this. Verse 7, And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes. He said, Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man does send me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore, consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. The king of Israel just thought, he's just looking for a reason to come and fight us, because I can't do anything for this leper. Verse 8, And it was so when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, Wherefore hast thou rent thou thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So the king sends him to Elisha's house. So here Naaman comes to Elisha's house with his chariots and with his armies and with his uniform and his dignity and so on. Verse 9, So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. Now we see something of the character of Naaman here. A proud and an arrogant man, in his general's uniform, on his horses and with his chariots, and he stood at Elisha's door. Notice, he didn't come in humility and knock on the door and say, Oh, man of God, would you please ask the Lord to cleanse me? I can't cleanse myself. He stood there outside. He knew that Elisha was in the house. He knew that he could hear him coming. I'm sure there was a great troop of men and making a lot of noise. And he knew he was somebody. He thought he'd done his part, and he was waiting for Elisha to come to him. Now, I see no humility there. He thought there was something about him that obligated Elisha to respond to him. You see, sinners believe salvation to be in their hands. If they do what is needed and exercise their free will and decide to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, now God is obligated to save them. I've made my move. Now it's time for God to make His move. So there he stands in his pride. Now look how Elisha handled this. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him. Elisha didn't even come to the door. Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. I'm sure Naaman was deeply offended that Elisha didn't come to the door. Doesn't he know who I am, and he sends a messenger to me? But Naaman, you don't understand that someone who knows the living God is not impressed with fleshly status. He sends his messenger to him, and this represents the preaching of the gospel. You will hear from God only through a humble servant. And oh, how that stung his pride. Now, what was Elisha's message? He said, You go to the River Jordan and dip yourself in that river 7 times. Not 6, not 8, but 7. The number of completion, the number of perfection. And you'll be clean. Now, the issue here is the issue of cleansing. Leprosy in the Scripture represents sin. How can the leper, how can the sinner be clean? Remember the Lord's words regarding him. None were cleansed in the New Testament when he's talking about Naaman. None of them were cleansed save Naaman the Syrian. Naaman's leprosy represents his sins. How can he be clean? How can he be washed? And this is what the blood of Christ does. This dipping in the River Jordan 7 times represents being washed in the blood of Christ. Now let's consider this issue of cleansing. Cleansing, being made clean, presupposes filthiness and a need to be cleaned. Do you need to be cleaned? Now, if you need to be cleaned, I know this. You know that you can't clean yourself. You can't make yourself pure. You can't make yourself holy. You can't make yourself acceptable to God. You're filthy, you need to be cleaned, and you can't make yourself clean. Now, in the Bible, there are 3 things that are said to make a believer clean. And all 3 of these go together. They cannot be separated. It's part of the same thing. But first of all, if I'm clean, I'll be made clean by the will of the Lord Jesus Christ. There was a leper that came to Christ. And that leper knew he was filthy. He was full of leprosy. And he said, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." You know what the Lord said? "I will. Be thou clean." All Christ has to do is will my cleansing, and I will be made clean. Now, cleansing begins with the sovereign will of Christ. Secondly, we read where the blood of Jesus Christ, 1 John 5:7, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. That's what the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ did. When He shed His precious blood, the sins of all of God's elect was washed away. There is no sin. I have no sin before God, cleansed by the blood of Christ. And then our Lord said, "Now are you clean through the word that I've spoken to you." Cleansed through hearing and believing the gospel. Now, that's how one is cleansed. Now, did the act of dipping cleanse Naaman? Absolutely not. It was God who cleansed Naaman. But would he have been clean if he refused to dip 7 times? No, he wouldn't have. This is the obedience of faith. Now, God is going to meet me and you at our point of rebellion. And He's going to break us, or He's going to send us to hell. One of those two. He met Naaman at his point of rebellion. Now let's look at Naaman's response to what the humble messenger said. You go in the River Jordan and dip down 7 times. Verse 11, here was Naaman's initial response. But Naaman was wroth. He was angry. I'm sure he was offended that Elisha didn't come out to him. And he said, "Behold, I thought." Now Naaman, here's where you went wrong. "Behold, I thought." Thought. He will surely come out to me. Not send a servant. He'll come to me. And he'll stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. I thought. There's a passage of scripture in Psalm 50 where God says, "Thou thoughtest I was altogether such a one as yourself." And here's where we get in trouble. We think, well, here's what I'd do. Surely God would do that. No, he won't. What you and I think naturally regarding God is wrong. It's not, listen to me, it's not like you thought it was. Well, I thought if we did our best and were sincere and accepted Jesus as our personal Savior, everything would be fine and our sins would be forgiven. It's not like you thought it was. Well, I thought God wants to save everybody and He wants to save people and He can't unless they let Him. And God loves everybody. And Christ died for everybody and made salvation possible for everybody. And now it's up to us to do our part in order to be saved. It's not like you thought it was. Naaman, you're wrong. Whatever you think, it's wrong. It's not like you thought it was. I thought. That's where you got in trouble. Verse 13. Well, let me go and read verse 12. He says, "Are not Abana and far, far rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? Why, this dirty River Jordan, you tell me to go, I can go back home and get more clean. May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. He was angry. He was offended. Off he goes back to Samaria. Verse 13. And his servants came near, the people that came with him, and spake unto him, and said, My father, they spoke with respect. He said, If the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? You know, if I said to you, if you crawl from Lexington to Louisville on your hands and knees, you will win heaven eternally. I bet you'd be willing to do it. Something great, something difficult. If you give so much money, if you do these great things, you'll be saved. But what about this? Believe on Christ. That's it. Believe on Christ. His servant said, If the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, Wash and be clean? Verse 14. He listened to these wise servants. And verse 14 says, Then went he down. Now understand this. The way up in the kingdom of heaven is always down. Then went he down. Down from his pride. Down from his haughty arrogance and self-righteousness. Down from his thoughts. He went down in obedience to what the prophet said. He went down and dipped himself seven times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. Now here he gets into the Jordan River. He dips down once, comes back up, nothing happens. Twice, nothing happens. Three times, nothing happens. Four, five, six, still nothing has happened. Now he goes down the seventh time, and what takes place? Then went down he and dipped himself seven times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. He dipped seven times, just like the man of God told him, and there are two things that took place. First, his leprosy left. And secondly, his flesh was now the flesh of a little child. Now remember, Naaman was at least a middle-aged man. And he'd gone through 40, 50 years old. I don't know how old he was. But his skin didn't look like a little child's before the leprosy. But now all of a sudden, when he comes out of that water, his flesh is just like the skin of a little child. Now that tells me something about what the blood of Christ actually does. That seven dippings is the number seven is the number of completion and perfection. When the Lord Jesus Christ died on Calvary's tree, he completely saved everybody who believes. He completely saved everybody that he died for. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14, we read, Wherefore by one offering, talking about his death on Calvary's tree, by one offering, He hath perfected. You hear that? Perfected. Forever. Something that can't be done away with. Them that are sanctified. That's what the Lord did on Calvary's tree. Now, two things are meant by that. First, all my sin was washed away, and I now no longer have any sin. That's what he did by his blood. My sin was washed away. And this child's flesh represents the new nature that he gives. A holy nature. It's what we're given in the new birth. A new nature that loves God, that believes. Oh, we still have the old nature, but we have a new nature now. And greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. This is the new nature that he gives. He took away our sin, and he gave a new nature. Now let's go on reading. Verse 15. And he returned to the man of God. Can you imagine how he must have felt? He returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him and said, Behold, now I know. that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now, when God saves you, you know that His gospel is the only gospel. And all other religions are false and wrong. You know that His way of saving by sovereign grace is the only way of saving. You know that His gospel is the only gospel and everything else is wrong. He made that confession. He confessed, that stuff that I believed back in Samaria, it was all garbage. It wasn't real. I know that now because I see that You're the only God. He rejected all other ways of salvation but the way of Christ alone. And He returned to the man of God, He and all His company, and came and stood before Him and said, "Behold, now I know that there's no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. Go ahead and take some of my gifts." And I love the way Elisha wasn't going to let that man think that he could buy anything from God. He wouldn't take it. He refused it. I admire Elisha. He wouldn't take this man's gifts. But he said, verse 16, "As the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, I will receive none." And he urged him to take it, but he refused. And Naaman said, "Shall there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant 2 mules, burdens of earth? For thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto the Lord." He saw this as the only gospel. Now, it's not. I want you to think of all the things that you think naturally about God, about Christ, about how He saves. We all have our opinions. Believe this. I'm talking to myself and I'm talking to you. Everything we think is wrong. Everything we think naturally is wrong. Would to God that we'll learn what Naaman did. Now we have this message on DVD and CD. If you call the church or write or email, we'll send you a copy. And we'd like to invite you to services at Todd's Road Grace Church. Our Bible study begins this morning at 9:45, the morning worship at 10:30, and we have an evening worship at 6, and you will hear the truth of the gospel. We invite you to come out and visit with us. This is Todd Nybert, praying that God will be pleased to make Himself known to you. That's our prayer. Amen. 'Tis not that I did choose thee, Lord, that could not be. To request a copy of the sermon you have just heard, send your request to messages@toddsroadgracechurch.com. Or you may write or call the church at the information provided on the screen.